This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. You're with Kat and Gemma. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Femme Fatale is a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships, and the arts. We were just listening to Just a Girl by Gwen Stefani with No Doubt. Live record, very passionate she is about women and women's issues and being a girl.
That was pretty amazing. I haven't heard that version before, I have to say. I loved it.
Me either. I had a big grin on my face the entire time, and it fits quite nicely with what we're talking about. On tonight's show, we are talking about the Femme. For those of you in the community who know what it is, awesome. For those of you who don't, we're going to be explaining it. And we're going to go into some more detail about femininity. What is a femme? What is society considered to be feminine? Is being female enough to make us feminine? And what does effeminate mean?
And, of course, we want to know what you think about all this as well. So during the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can contact us via social media, as we say these days. Just get on the Joy website and click on our page. It'll take you through. If you've got a smartphone, you can use the free Joy app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. We look forward to hearing from you. But first, we're going to play a little Bob Dylan. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale with Kat and Gemma on Joy 94.9. We were just listening to Just Like a Woman by the sexy, sultry sounds of Bob Dylan. During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can download the free smartphone Joy app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
And on tonight's show, we are talking about the difference between femme and femininity, because there is a difference. And I guess we're talking about femme in a particularly queer context as well. So, Gem,
yes,
let's start with some definitions. What would you consider to be the difference between feminine and femme?
Well, I didn't even know what a femme was until I really moved to Melbourne and kind of became a more active member of the community. I didn't really understand what a femme was, or that was the label that applied to me. Femininity, I definitely understand, and I know what that is, and I am quite a feminine person. Yeah, so femininity to me, we're going to do that a lot tonight.
It's quite hard to say and
gonna,
spell.
Yeah, we're going to do that a lot tonight. Are the kind of the values or the qualities or a certain kind of, lost my words.
Certain kind of behaviours you're
talking
about?
Yeah, exactly, that relate
socially
to...
socially condoned behaviours?
Yeah, yep. Boys versus girls. So some feminine qualities might be... to be soft, to be nurturing, to be timid, to be shy, to be polite, and to dress in a certain way. There are certain things associated with femininity compared to masculinity, like flowers and sweet scents and sugar and all that kind of thing.
And, of course, there's, you know, always going to be controversy about whether these are biological differences or whether they're socially constructed differences.
Absolutely, definitely.
And maybe it's a bit of both, who knows?
And it's a great debate. And going on to talking about the femme, I kind of have been classified and am comfortable with the classification in my community that I am a femme. I have long hair, long flowing locks, and big bold eyelashes, and I wear makeup and wear stilettos and not mini skirts, but 50s inspired sexy frocks. So I am what you might call a femme. So I didn't know there was a distinction in our community, but there definitely is. So we're going to be talking about that in a bit more depth. Kat, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I think that is the difference between being feminine as such. It's a social construct of what's considered to be biological differences. Let's put it that way.
Mm. Nice one.
And thank you. And being a femme, I guess, well, in terms of queer community, denotes women, like queer women, who are feminine.
Mm. Why do we have this classification? Like, why do we have this in our community? It doesn't really exist in the straight community.
Yeah.
In the straight community, we only classify women who aren't feminine as something else, like a tomboy.
Yeah,
but in the queer community, we classify our feminine women as a certain thing. And the debate around, we're going to talk about in more detail, about whether it's derogatory or not, which is a big one. What do you guys think? So make sure you text in 0427JOY949.
Well, I can't help but think that there is a derogatory shade to this term. It's like it's surprising that a queer woman could actually have feminine qualities, or what are considered to be traditionally feminine qualities, and so therefore there has to be a distinction. And the distinction, I guess, I mean, it's not like the term's been around forever. The distinction was initially between femme and butch, so women that were seen to embody masculine qualities and women that were seen to embody feminine qualities, and this kind of binary system where obviously the femme person would be paired with the butch person. Mm. Also, femmes were considered to be passive, you know, sexually and in terms of their personality.
So it's kind of ties back to the labelling thing we were talking a little bit last week about gold stars and the labelling we do in our own community and place on people.
Yeah,
within
not only from the outside but from within.
But also it has to do with gender roles specific to the way we identify as adults and make a choice to identify as either a masculine or a feminine kind of role, which is really interesting. Effeminate, Kat, what's effeminate?
Well, that's interesting. Like, while we're talking about femininity as a derogatory label, usually if someone's called effeminate, it's a man who's called effeminate. Technically, and it is a derogatory term, and it means showing or having characteristics that are typically regarded as something that a woman would do, so unmanly.
Mm.
So, I mean, the connotation of which is that being a woman is a bad thing to be. And we were just talking before about how people say things that are considered to be insults, like, you run like a girl. So anytime someone says to me, you run like a girl, I say, well, I am a girl.
Yeah. So it's kind of terms and we use to label each other in our community. But, I mean, it's safe to say that we label many gay men as effeminate. And in our community, it's not so derogatory because it's quite socially accepted in our community. And femmes and in our community is termed as something that I think we've all quite accepting of, and it's not necessarily derogatory.
Well, I think there's been a lot of reclaiming going on.
Yeah, which is why I think it's so valid to talk about it now, because it's labelling that we want to reclaim and kind of change our tune about the way we look at it. But look, I want to talk about the underrepresented or the misrepresented women who are classified as butch, which I don't particularly like that label. You know, we can use any other label that you would like, but that still have feminine qualities. Where does that leave them? And, you know, if you want
Well, of course they've got feminine qualities if they're women. I mean, it depends. We haven't actually talked about what we consider feminine qualities to be, but we will do that.
Yes.
And not only does it leave out those women, but it also, again, as always, leaves out transgender people. Because, you know, to identify as feminine may not necessarily involve quite a lot of the characteristics that are traditionally seen as feminine, which doesn't make you a man either.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different types of characteristics. It's not just the mental, emotional characteristics of femininity, but the physical attributes of femininity and the choices that you make in the way that you present yourself to the world. So, look, I think it's a really valid topic, and I'm really glad that we're talking about it. I think we definitely need to hone a little further on what we define as feminine and how that applies to the way we label each other.
Yeah, and of course we really want to know what you think. So during the show, text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can contact us via the smartphone app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9 with Kat and Gemma. We just heard White Owl by Bertie Blackman, an awesome Australian artist. I love that song. During the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can download the free smartphone Joy app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
And on tonight's show, we are talking about femmes and femininity and the difference between femmes and femininity. It's actually a lot more complicated than I initially thought it was when we discussed this topic.
It seems that way.
Yeah. So I guess it would be very interesting for me, Gemma. I want to talk about how you feel that you connect to your sense of femininity. And for those of you that have just tuned in, both of us are self-identified as femmes.
And I'm comfortable with the term.
And are both comfortable with that term, the way that we define it, which we will talk a little bit more about. But right now, I really want to point out that I mean something different from that than I do by femininity as a word. So go. What do you think?
Well, basically, I think my journey into my femininity is quite an interesting one. I grew up in rural New South Wales in a small country town where on land, so there was lots of boyish, masculine activities and fun things to do. And I grew up in a particularly kind of conflicting household where it wasn't always safe to be a girl. So growing up, I identified strongly as a bit of a tomboy. Mm-hmm. Although I was quite, you know, had my feminine and qualities in relation to like being quite artistic and into drama and music and singing and art. I also, all my friends were boys and I identified, you know, better with boys and I got along better with boys and all my best friends were boys. And I dressed like a boy. I wore skate shoes and long baggy like skate pants and I wore hoodies, absolutely.
Can't even imagine.
Everywhere.
This.
I didn't really wear my first dress in high school until the graduation, where I felt really, really vulnerable and I almost fell over on stage in my high heel shoes. But I'd always loved feminine things. I just didn't know how to integrate it into my identity and the way that I presented myself to the world until I got out of a small town environment and until it wasn't necessary for me to be riding bikes and fishing and pulling motorbikes apart and playing ping pong and stuff. And I got to explore that a little more. And I made the conscious choice, and I think that's the important part, is I made a conscious choice to explore my femininity, explored makeup. I started working a bit more.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? By femininity, we're talking about how women are perceived to be
and I'm
by
talking
society.
About, yeah, I'm talking about a conscious choice to explore feminine things and try and integrate them into the way I presented myself to the world. Yep. So makeup, dresses, it wasn't something I was completely comfortable with, but it was really fun to try. I'm someone who really likes to just try new things and try everything. It was really interesting to see how that changed society's reaction to me in terms
so
of
much.
Being an 18 or a 19-year-old girl going from wearing skate shoes and baggy pants to wearing dresses and makeup and suddenly feeling beautiful because everyone told me that I was rather than never being told that. So it was nice, interesting. It was a bit of different attention, kind of got into the swing of it and I kind of went extremist in the other way and kind of just became this uber femme with this uber wardrobe of stilettos and makeup and long hair and tanning products and all that.
Whoa,
I
Gemma.
Know, crazy. And these days, I think what I found during all my explorations was that I definitely embody feminine qualities. I like to feel feminine and look feminine. I don't feel vulnerable anymore. And I found a way to balance feeling and dressing and presenting myself as either masculine or feminine. I found a way to balance it out. So when I feel like wearing trackies and a jumper and a beanie, I do that. And
yeah, I still see a lot of hoodie action.
Yeah, there's a lot of hoodie action. And if I feel like wearing a dress and wearing high heels, I do that. And it's not specific to, the way society, needs me to be. It's specific to how I feel about myself. And I'm a lot more comfortable in my feminine qualities than I ever was as a youth. So that's a bit of my journey, but it was a conscious choice. So I think that's probably an important part of what we're going to talk about is that being a femme is a choice that we make. And Kat, how about you? What's your experience?
Well, I was going to go into detail about my journey towards being feminine, but it's actually so much like yours that it's uncanny. I guess it differs in a couple of ways. One is that I kind of experimented a little bit with wearing dresses as a teenager, but I could never really commit to it. And then I stopped doing it altogether in my 20s. I was probably 30, 31 before I decided to wear a skirt. I didn't actually own a single thing that wasn't jeans or pants.
Was it at the same time that you came out, around the same time as you came out, or
no,
shortly
it was
after,
actually,
or just a bit before?
It was actually before.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And I decided to, take the risk. Just things that were considered to be traditionally feminine had always made me feel really uncomfortable.
Why?
They made me feel vulnerable, made me feel like I was performing a role that I didn't feel comfortable with.
And now?
Now it actually feels like who I am. The older I get, the more you know, traditionally seeming feminine I become in appearance, and it feels much closer to who I actually am.
So it's more comfortable now than it used to be.
It's a lot more comfortable, but I think that's a lot also got a lot to do with you know, reforming my idea of what it is to be feminine, and I understanding that it doesn't have to be everything that society throws at me. I can have my own interpretation. And, you know, I used to have this personal rule whenever I was stage managing a show that I would always do it in a dress, and I would always tech in a dress.
That's awesome.
And this was not about looking good. This was about, for me, a political point that worked the other way, which was that in order to do things that are practical in society or to be seen as useful, you don't have to look like a man. Mm. It used to really annoy me that it was considered that anyone that was wearing a dress or had makeup on or had done their hair was kind of a little bit useless.
Or somehow less capable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is really frustrating.
So for me, it was like, you know what? I can do all of that and wear a dress at the same time, and I don't feel like a lesser person. So in that sense, yes, I've become both more comfortable with looking, I guess, stereotypically feminine, but also in performing that femininity out in the world.
How are you challenged by that, Kat, in your community? How is that challenging?
Well, I mean, I don't, at first, until, you know, sometimes I really don't like the distinction femme. And there's been quite a lot of anecdotal research about femmes and about the notion of invisibility in queer community. And I know that's true. I mean, there's the upside, I guess, that you get to pass in inverted commas, which means in certain circumstances your life can be seen to be a little bit easier because you look like a heterosexual woman to most people.
But that can work in reverse, because I spend a lot of my time
justifying why you're in a gay bar
as a real gay because I'm wearing a dress and high heels and makeup, which is also, you know, it's not fair. Work in reverse.
Yeah, so it does work both ways. And also sometimes I get little twinges of political guilt because I feel like I'm not representing because I'm fitting in instead. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, when it comes to anything that's gendered and anything that's got anything to do with traditional gender binaries, it's always going to be complicated and we're going to have a lot of guilt and frustration about it. But I don't think anymore that to be feminine has to mean to be not feminist. Mm. Again, it depends on your understanding of those terms and what you do with it. I don't see that the way that I dress and present myself to the outside world because it's not an unconscious choice. It's not something that was thrust upon me by society and I just went along with it and never gave it any reflection. Mm. It's something that I chose to do as an educated adult because I felt more comfortable with that kind of presentation. And not because I felt more accepted by other people or people told me I was beautiful all the time, but because I just actually really like dresses and I like pretty things and I like colouring in. And if I can do that on my face, then that makes me really happy.
I think it's really important to make the distinction between feeling like making a choice to present myself in a feminine way compared to choosing to embody feminine qualities in my personality. Just because I choose to wear a dress and makeup doesn't mean that I'm going to be placid or timid or not have an opinion or, you know, be the most nurturing person on the planet.
Any more than someone who doesn't look feminine.
Exactly.
Doesn't want to do...
Doesn't have the same qualities within them as a human being.
Absolutely.
So, I think it's definitely a difference in femme versus femininity. Femme is a conscious way that we choose to present ourselves to the world, but our femininity are qualities that relate to something deeper. It's the way we interact with ourselves. It's the way we interact with other people. It can be personality traits that tend to be on the feminine side that you can have even if you wear jeans every day and don't particularly try to look feminine. So something we're going to talk about a little bit more coming up.
Absolutely. I think we're going to get a lot more into the political and the gendered context, but first we're going to listen to the Jezebels.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. You're with Kat and Gemma. We were just listening to Say It Right by Angus. It's a cover.
That's ironic.
I know. a cover by Angus and Julia Stone. And before that, Nobody Nowhere by the Jezebels. Both all Australian again. It's a bit of a theme tonight. We are talking tonight about femme and femininity. So during the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can download the free smartphone Joy app or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
So let's get a little bit political, Jem.
Woo!
I want to talk about being a femme, being feminine, and being a feminist.
Whoa!
Do you think any of these things are mutually exclusive? Because I know that there are people that are, that do, sorry, think that.
I don't believe that they are mutually exclusive. I believe I can be a femme, I can embody feminine qualities, and I believe that can also empower me. I still completely understand and relate to the issues surrounding feminist ideals and principles. So I believe that being a femme and embodying my feminine qualities doesn't take any power away from me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me weaker. I believe that society might perceive me as being less capable, as we previously discussed, but I believe that that power ultimately comes down to me and my choice of actions, as well as getting dressed up every day, looking feminine is a choice.
Yeah, because I just don't subscribe to the value that for someone to embody what are considered to be feminine qualities makes them a weaker person or means that they are not interested in strength or being equal with men. I really think that we need to change our thinking about the value that we place on femininity, because at the moment we still seem to think that for something to be or someone to be feminine means that they are somewhat lesser than someone who is masculine or a man. And I don't agree with that. I think that you can be equally as powerful while choosing to, you know, look to the outside world like someone who would be considered to be traditionally a woman. And it also brings me to the question, if you're not feminine, as in a traditional sense,
and you're not masculine,
but you happen to be a woman biologically or self-identified, what are you? Or how do people perceive you?
And where does that leave you? I mean, we're all for no labels, but it's a really interesting, it really is an interesting concept. If you're not femme and you're a woman, where does that leave you? Well, I have to say that a lot of our friends in the community and a lot of people in the community who don't choose to represent as femme in the community still get really resentful when people assume that they don't have or they don't embody feminine qualities. That's definitely come up in the past, and it's a really important point. Feminine qualities we associate as a society with nurture, self-nurture, to be, you know, timid or shy, or to be an emotional creature is a really feminine quality. Kat, what are some feminine qualities on your side?
Well, I was going to say soft as well, and mothering and caring and nurturing, but supportive to the exclusion
some
of self.
The strong
often.
Ones, some you know, strong feminine qualities.
To be a carer,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you guys think? Make sure you text in 0427JOY949.
But I also associate it with being pretty and useless.
That's an association, Kat, we're trying to move away from. So.
Oh, no, I don't mean that I think that,
yes.
But I do think that society does place that on us.
Yes, definitely. And I definitely think it's seeped in tradition, so to speak.
Well, let's go back to the saying that we mentioned earlier, you run like a girl. Okay, the implications of telling someone that they run like a girl is that you run badly or poorly or in a silly fashion.
No, this is what you've reinterpreted as the implication.
No, that's what that means. When someone says you run like a girl or he plays baseball like a girl,
okay, but let's
it's a derogatory
statement.
Let's go
to the statement, though. Let's go to the statement. Yes, it is, has derogatory intentions. But let's go to the statement, you run like a girl.
Well, it doesn't
have
to mean that.
The reinterpretation of that for us as a person is that, oh, I must run in pathetic or weak. But when you subvert that and say, yeah, because I am a girl.
Yes.
And I can probably beat you in a race. Like, you know, we make the
choice. Which I couldn't, by the way.
We make the choice to subvert it the same way when we get up every day and dress femme. We make a choice to subvert the concept that we're going to be timid and shy and that I don't swear or spit, but I don't. But it's just the point that I'm making that I'm going to behave in a feminine way because I'm wearing a dress. It's the same. It's society's interpretation of what I'm going to do because I've made myself look like a femme compared to what I'm actually going to do are very different. So the same way that you've reinterpreted the statement, you run like a girl, you can choose to interpret as, well, yes.
Except that I know that when someone else says that, that's not what they mean. They still mean it in a derogatory fashion. So what I'm trying to get at is that how do we change society's perceptions of what it is to be masculine and what it is to be feminine? Is it by going out there in the world and being, you know, appearing to be something that is traditionally feminine and doing it in a completely different way? Because that's something that I'm interested
but
in.
But I think the history of our community and the history of the way lesbian women have fought for our rights as women in the community has meant that they had to take on a more masculine persona.
Absolutely.
To be heard and have their opinions understood. And now I think there's a shift in the paradigm that we can now move into and be more comfortable in our feminine qualities and still be heard, which is, I guess, why we're having this conversation. And I guess that's one of the strongest ways we can try and break down some of these gender, political, you know, kind of labelling barriers.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, and of course, there is the advantage, I guess, that these days, at least, there is more avenue for choice to look however you want, really. Mm. Though, I mean, obviously, there's still a long way to go. People still do use...
Yes, but I don't think they fully understand the old school, like, terminology behind where that saying comes from. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they're maliciously using it to make it a derogatory comment, like, you run like a girl. I don't think people fully understand how that's seeped in tradition and gender issues. And when they say it, they think it's funny rather than I'm slamming you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps. And I'm, is it I'm weighted, not convinced on that
is
one.
Is it weighted differently if a boy says it than if a girl says it?
Well,
because if I said to you, because I can run pretty good, if I said to you, you run like a girl, it might be because you wave your arms around.
But why would that be a feminine quality as opposed to a masculine quality?
Funny to look at because men are usually more stiff and rigid and have their arms, you know, like maybe it's an observation on something different.
Could be. Yeah, the jury in my head is still out on that one.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, even the way we educate our children, like dating back, you know, we used to use terms regularly in the education of children, good boy and good girl. And now that they teach in your educational psychology, that it's wrong to assume gender and to place good or bad feedback using gender labelling. So even school teachers now have to be super conscious and aware of using the terms boy and girl. They have to, you know, they have to be more, we're actually taught as teachers when we're studying that you don't place certain toys and things with certain
genders
in front of children, that it all needs to be equal and children need to make the choice for themselves, which I think is really positive. And I think, you know, we're of a certain generation or representing a couple of generations that where this used to be a major issue. And I think we're going to see it filter out a little more.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see where it goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I could talk about this for hours, but actually we are out of time. So what are we talking about next week?
Next week we are talking about sexual health. Coming up next after Femme Fatale, you've got Spirit Lounge with Birdie, Joy and Andrew. And the song taking us out is Carolina Drama by The Raconteurs.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.